Good morning, church. Good morning to people who are watching us on screen. Welcome back. We are beginning a new series today. It's still on John, but the series on chapter 6 is about I am the living bread. I am the bread of life. So as you read the whole chapter of chapter 6, it's going to give you that you need to picture yourself that it's talking about the bread of life. So how many of you love food? Wow. Almost everyone put up their hand. Wow, some people put up two hands. Now, I just want to focus. I just want to maybe enforce on what Kay has said just about the men's meeting, men's breakfast this coming Saturday. And I'll be here. It's only $5. I was surprised that when Kay said there's bacon and egg, because I thought $5 is probably zero, you know, but bacon and egg, I'll be here. I hope all those men will come and let's join in for a morning breakfast, even if you feel tired and you got to drag yourself out of bed. Please do come. Let's gather to see the manpower. Right? Unfortunately, I can't attend the ladies' morning tea. I heard it was a success. Next time, I'll push my wife and my girls to go for it. But anyway, today we are talking about food. Now, this is one of the miracles. One of the miracles that is so different that everybody was talking about, and every single gospel, all the four gospels actually recorded it. And I bet that if you grow up in church, I don't grow up in church, so I never heard about the story until I became a Christian. All right? If you grew up in church, this is one of the stories that your Sunday school teacher will never neglect. If they neglect, then you got to maybe call up your Sunday school teacher. You did not teach me about this. This is so very important. Now, last week, what we have done so far, we have here in chapter 5, we close up chapter 5 with the third sign of Jesus healing a man by the pool. And then he launched into proclaiming who he was, his deity of Christ, he's a Messiah. And then it also launched into the beginning of his persecution. Now, when we come to chapter 6, pretty much the settings will be the same. Throughout the whole book of Gospel of John, you will see a lot of sevens in there. There's a sign, there's a seven miracle and signs that all leading all the way up to Jesus' crucifixion. And then there will be seven I am that is beginning in this chapter, chapter 6. So the very first I am will appear next week. So come next week and you will see. All right, you will see when Jesus proclaimed I am, the very first I am of the seven. Now, of the seven signs, what we have been so far, all right, we've seen water turning water into wine, showing that Jesus' generosity, God's kingdom is so generous that he's able to perform not just that miracle, not just having that party, it portrayed a party in heaven when you come to Christ. That God will make the impossible possible. And then healing the official son, showing the faith, of the saving faith of someone that Jesus was talking about. Remember that back in chapter 3, he was talking to Nicodemus about born again. Then he enforced it with this official son being healed without seeing Jesus. And then last week, we talked about that this man was healed and caused that persecution. Now, the feeding of the 5,000, everyone was talking about. Why was it talking about? If you include, when you read the story, you got to combine all these four studies together. So when you put them together, you see the context of what was going on with these 5,000 people. Now, 5,000 people was calculating only the man. All right, only the men. So men come for morning breakfast. All right, the women are not counted. Children are not counted. But in this case, the story only stated 5,000. That was not really the number. All right, because there were families there, there were women there, children were there. If you include all this, the whole multitude come up to about 20 to 25,000 people there, serving, waiting for food. Coming to Jesus, and Jesus feeds 25,000 people. Can Ringwood Community Church feed 25,000 people? Today, if we are asked to. If we got 25,000 people queuing up outside of the door, can we do that? You smile. All right. Where does the money come from? As you read the story, it will come up to that. It comes up with the same question as well. Now, before we go into it, I just want to emphasize, this miracle was performed on a massive scale. So massive that it has never happened before. And up until this day, if you go on YouTube and search on Google about all those false prophets, false teachers, performing all those miracles that is impossible that Jesus would do, some people even have that miracles of raising the dead. I seen it on YouTube that people I don't know how they do it. Don't ask me because I don't have black magic. I don't have tricks to play. But these people, what we can see that this is one of the miracles that has never been performed. No one is able to replicate this because it was so massive. 25,000 people involved. Any other miracles that was happened with Jesus only happens during a small amount, a close group of people. You realize that? Only one or two people, or maybe the people witness it is just a small group. But this, you got 25,000 people witnessing it. Just like every single one of us in this room or in your room witness this thing. It has to be true. It has to be true. So the last time that Jesus said, look, if you believe in me, you got to believe in the word of God. You believe in the scripture too. So then he go directly, John's settings was put this miracle here. If you still don't believe me, look at those 25,000 people that has seen my miracles. So they got fed. And during this time, performing such a great miracle, and it was in a very intense time of Jesus that he did this. There are three reasons. First, When you read the four Gospels together about these miracles, you will find that it was during the time of the beheading of John the Baptist. Why was it intense? Because John the Baptist was someone close to him. He was his cousin, like me and my cousin, relatives, people that we love, got beheaded for no reasons, got beheaded for being accused of something that was a lie. Then it was also during the disciples' return from a mission trip, their very first mission trip. They came back. Have you ever been to a mission trip? Have you ever been to any trip? It is so tiring going for a trip. Sometimes it makes me feel when I bring my family on holiday, I say, oh no, it's holiday again. Why? Because there's so much preparation. You got to prepare the road, you got to prepare the money, you got to prepare the lodging, accommodation, driving, everything. And then every time my family go out for a tour, they know. I get very agitated, especially when I go through the customs. Somehow the customs love me so much. Every single time I pass through Australian customs, they will always pick on me. Yeah, that goes to your pastor. Next time I got to put a brand here, right? Say I'm pastor of Ringwood Community Church. Hopefully they will not pick on me again. But anyway, this disciple just returned from a mission trip. And then most of all, we heard from chapter 5, the very last ending, Jesus talked about he was being persecuted. All right? People tried to persecute him for when he declared who he was. So of all this, during this timing, and Jesus performed this miracle. And there's a lot of angles that we can see from this feeding of 5,000. But today, this morning, I just want to focus with you. We want to focus on the characters that is there. And I want you to focus on these three characters, Jesus, the disciple, and the big crowd, the great crowd that was there. And I want to pick you to picture yourself there. Picture yourself just like the kids' space. Like you might be one of the person who is getting fed. You might be one of the person who is distributing the food, or maybe you are the one who is arguing with Jesus. All right, put yourself in that picture. I want you to reflect on your belief in Jesus this morning through this feeding of 5,000. The scripture started the very beginning is Jesus. We see that Jesus still once again have compassion of God. Review the compassion of God. There's no doubt about it. We talk about compassion. Then this compassion has to do with people. All right? If you have compassion of God, it has to do with people. It has to do with serving people. You see, Jesus started from there. It was during this intense time that Jesus served these people. He's supposed to be mourning. He's supposed to be resting after all the persecuted people were chasing after them. He need a rest. The disciple just came back. They need a reporting. They need to rejuvenate. And you see that the scripture that they came to Galilee, a mountainside near Galilee. I believe that they wanting a rest. They wish to have a rest. But what happened? There was a crowd of people coming. What does this tell you? This tells you that the compassion, that Jesus has compassion for people, that compassion that we are talking about, that we share so much about, that we thought we know about, has to come with this. Self-denying. Jesus denied himself. Instead of resting, instead of taking time off, instead of going for holidays, like what we used to do, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so drained right now, I need a time off. I need a break from everybody else, so I look for somewhere else. But when he sees someone coming, he dropped his own agenda. He dropped his own, he denied himself and chose to serve. So church, this is a model that Jesus has shown right from the beginning of this miracle. Seeing that how we supposed to serve. Because when you serve in God's kingdom, you serve in the gospel. You're willing to share the gospel. Gospel asks you to self-deny yourself. Otherwise, you will not, without self-denial, you can't serve God. That's honest. That's the honesty. You can't serve God without self-denial. You can't just say that you want to serve God and you serve God. But every time, just evaluate yourself when you serve God. When we serve God, are we serving out of our own agenda? Are we serving out of our own comfort zone? How many times do you hear people say, oh, I'm not comfortable with this? Jesus was not comfortable with this when he seen the 5,000. He and the disciple were wanting to sneak into the mountainside. But the moment he saw that people coming, what did he do? He just dropped his agenda and go. That is the very first thing that we see from Jesus. That's what I see from the ministry of Jesus. And today we call ourselves the follower of Jesus Christ. Are we really following him in such a way that we are willing to self-deny and serve God and serve people with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind? This is the same as loving God. Then the second thing that we can see, the second part we can see is the test of the disciples' faith. Jesus come to this group of people and test the disciple faith. And he asked them to give them something to eat. 25,000 people. Do you think Jesus was thinking, you guys can do it, you have me, no problem, go and feed them? Do you think so? I don't think so. I don't think Jesus thought that way. What he was thinking was that he wanted to test them. He asked them to feed them because he wanted to test them. He wanted to test the faith. Why did he want to test faith? Because they just came back. Because all these Christians, all these disciples, so-called disciples, has been with Jesus for quite some time now. They've seen a lot. They've been through a lot of Jesus. They've seen the miracle and signs. They've seen people persecuting him. They've seen people debating with him. They've seen him doing lots of things, including they were being sent off to share the gospel, right? They've seen the joy of God's provision, and they experienced the power of the gospel. When they cast out demons, when they heal the sick, they've been through all these things. It's just like today, we've been walking with Jesus today, every single day. We experience a certain kind of miracle in our life every single day. And yet, what do we do? And most of the time, we keep on failing and failing every day. You have that? I fail every day. That's why I repent every day. That's why I come to Jesus every day. I need to come to Him, Jesus, every day, because I know I will fail. I might be okay right now, I'm preaching to you, but next moment after that, I might be quarreling with one of you due to different point of view. It's okay. But the point is, Jesus put our faith into test, like He put into here. Now, there are two examples that is listed here in this scripture this morning. All right, the first one that He showed us was Philip. Philip was one category of people that it portrayed that God had asked him to do something. God had asked him and give him a task. And what he did was that he only see the obstacle. When he see the obstacle, it cannot be done. Sorry. All right. We come across a lot of people like this, isn't it? In the past, I was very, when I first started my Christian walk many years ago, I was called to be a deacon, a young deacon, the youngest deacon probably within the group. And I was a young deacon, I was immature, don't know how to handle a relationship, or especially meeting like this. And I was really, really angry with my pastor, with other deacons. Why? Because I think they're wasting my time. Because every time when we want to set a task, when we do something, it always started with something negative. You been through that before? Every time we want to set a task, people always come up, oh, what if this happened? Or what if that happened? I probably was a very simple young man. I said, you give me a task, I'll do it, I'll just try it and make it work. That was my mentality. You just make it work. If you fail, you fail. What's the big deal? But according to them, no, we got to be perfect. We've got to make sure that everything is perfect, everything is fine. So we're going to make sure that we're not going to fail. This is what happened. That church has never grown. It has never moved forward. We started a project, it never got lifted. All right? That was me back then. Now, this is exactly the same kind of people that we have. Look in the problem, seen the problem. He was provided with stuff, but he feel that this cannot be done. Now, another category of people, that was Andrew. You love Andrew. You just love Andrew. All right? We don't have Andrew among us, right? Where's the Andrew? Okay. Yeah, good. That's good, okay. Now, why do we love Andrew? Because Andrew keep bringing people to Jesus. The very first person he brought was his own brother, Simon Peter. All right? Came to Jesus. And now he bring the little kid to Jesus. This character here, I admire the character here because he didn't think twice. All right, the moment Jesus said, bring all these people, how can you feed all these people? He just went on and said, oh, I found 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. I don't care, I just bring it to Jesus. That's the attitude because Jesus was with him. He experienced the power of gospel. He experienced everything with Jesus. He believed Jesus can be done. I cannot do anything. I don't care how Jesus is going to do it. That's not my job. Yeah? So what I need to do is to be part of God's plan. Be part of Jesus' plan. So he brought that 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish. Two fish and 5 bread. All right? To Jesus and let Jesus do the job. So in this character, picture yourself. Who do you think Jesus will pick? Jesus desire? To see Philip or Andrew? Are you a Philip or are you Andrew? Sorry, Phil. I'm not talking about you. Yeah. So, yeah, is there Andrew? That's why I keep looking for Andrew. All right. So it tells us, it gives us a picture of encouragement, a challenge. Where are you at today? Where are you at serving the Lord? Where are you in your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you a Philip or are you an Andrew? Disciple of Christ, when you follow Jesus, you can have whether your faith is that great or that small. That's not the matter. The matter is, what matter is, do you believe in Jesus? It's not a matter how deep you trust. I don't like people telling me, oh, you got big faith, or you got little faith. All I know is that Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, have you ever seen a mustard seed? Just like a booger that you take up. All right? I should have. Oh, now we hear Sue is back. Yeah, welcome back. And I used to run a youth group, and then I bought a bottle of dry mustard seed, and I lift it out. Every time we talk about this, talk about faith, I challenge the young people. I said, look, do you know how big your faith need to be to come to Jesus? They said, don't know, until I bring out that mustard seed. And I make every single one of them take out that mustard seed, just take one mustard seed and paste it on your Bible. If you lost if you ever lost faith in Jesus, look at that mustard seed. That's how big you need to have. Or if you don't have mustard seed, take out your boogers. Anyway, so you go back. Where is your faith? How do you trust in Jesus today? All right. William Carey tells us that we expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Why? Because that's a step of faith. All right? You expect great things from God. And then you should attempt great things from God, because He is a great God. He's an almighty God. He's a God of making impossible possible. And Billy Graham says, what? This is faith, saving faith. What kind of saving faith is that produce obedience? You obey what Jesus said. When we talk about obedience, I'm not saying that you obey every single rule, check one, check two, 10 commandments. Of course, all this is important. But all I'm saying is that these rules, all these obedience supposed to point you to Jesus, supposed to point you to trust in Jesus, rely on Jesus, depend on Jesus. Nothing else but Jesus. But these, you see the crowd here. You see the story here. People are not focusing on Jesus, including the disciple themselves. Even Andrew, when you read between the line, all right, he didn't produce much faith, but he's a much more desirable disciple. I prefer to be Andrew. Now, then the last point is that we see a great crowd of people there. And this great crowd of people came for three reasons. One, they come and follow Jesus because there's miracle. In other words, if we put it in today's context, because there's show going on. All right? Because I put up good videos. You know, every single time I pick any videos here, you realize the videos are really clear? You didn't realize that, right? You know how much effort it took me to actually search for the one with 1080 density pixel? You know? If I can't find anything, I will still go for 720. Anything below 720, I'm going to scrap it. That's why you see those people who, in the music team, I pick songs and there are lists that there's no link. Why? Because there's no good link. Some people send me good music, but I couldn't find good link, couldn't find good images. I did that because of you. But I hope that you come not because of that. You understand what I'm talking about? All right? I hope that you don't come because we have a good program. You don't come because I preach well, or somebody else preach well, or sing well. You come because you want to worship Jesus. That's the difference between your faith and somebody else's faith. So they came because of this whole event. Jesus put up a good show for them. Feeding 25,000 people, healing the blind, healing the sick, healing the lame. Yeah, turning water into wine. I would go wherever Jesus go, right? Isn't it? Because there will be, you know, if you like wine, free drink. You know, free drink on the house. You know, you run out of wine, keep on giving you. You know, if you have a trip, you break your ankle, Jesus just said, heal and go. If you lost your eyesight, or maybe right now, we're getting old due to age, my eyes, I'm losing my sight. I don't need to go to Chemist Warehouse and look for something. I just tell Jesus, heal me, man. Save me all the big bucks. These people come for Sure. And then there another thing that they came to be fed. There's food. Wherever there's food, I always say that whenever there's food, there are people. I can't wait to see this Saturday. I thought you men come for Jesus and also come for food. All right? I hope the food will bring you the attraction. So we're supposed to have these kind of events to attract people to come to church, to attract people to come here. But sometimes it's very sad when I see these people come for food, but they never turn up again in the church until the next food session. You know? It's sometimes I'm confused. I said, should we waste time doing all these things? Jesus could have said, should I waste time on these people? I just hide in the mountain for the next 7 days. I let them wait there. Yeah? Compassion for people. But these people came because there's miracle, there is that good show, good food. Resonate? We love to go wherever there's good food and good show, right? Then what happened was they acknowledged, because of the good food and good show, they acknowledged Jesus as a prophet. Wow, that is a very high standard. Because they believe the prophet came from God. They believe whatever Jesus said, whatever Jesus do, it has to come from God. But they just do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's a Savior for the world. Not yet. All right? And what happened next was, it was horrendous. It's ironic. He made him king. They come to make Jesus king. You know why you want to make Jesus king? You call him, acknowledge a prophet. That's good enough. Why you make him a king? Why you want to make him a king? Why? Who would you rather have to govern you? A prime minister or a leader who will feed you and hand out to you? Or someone who will keep texting you and suck every dollar out from you? Of course, obviously, isn't it? I don't need to work, just sit there and wait for a good show. As long as you put up a good show, you show on TV, you say everything nice to me, and you keep on feeding me, you know, during COVID-19, keep on having me, giving me, without working, give me $1,200 a week, every single week, you know? Why not? I'll vote for you. You do that. That's what happened to these people. Good show, good food. Right? They want to honor that. They want to keep having that. They want to keep following Jesus that way. So, church, with these three characters, we see the compassion of Jesus. We've seen as disciples, the faith was being put to test. We've seen that this group of people, a group of people coming to Jesus for their own agendas and their own reasons. What's your reason for coming today? What's your reason for coming to Jesus today? Now, the challenge for you this morning, I'm not sure whether where you are in your faith with Jesus. Such a great miracle. It's hard, too hard to go to neglect it. Will you follow and trust Jesus like the people in this story? Which are the category you are? Will you trust Jesus and follow him and serve Jesus the way that he served you? Think about how Jesus has served you so far. Whether you are a disciple or whether you are not, you have not made up your mind to follow Jesus. Jesus has been serving you since day one. Because every single air that you breathe in was created by him. Every single dream, whether your parents or whether your environment is good or no good, but today as you are still alive, it's all grace. Will you follow Jesus? Will you trust him? Will you serve him the way he served you today? Let's pray. Our Father, we can't thank you enough for what you have done for us. For all the miracles, for all things that has happened to us, we always keep on thanking you or praise you for what has happened. But very unlikely, we thank you for who you are. God, we just ask that your spirit will turn us around. As we look at this story here today, we reflect on ourselves and our faith of how we follow you and how we trust you and how we serve you. And Father, we just ask that you open us, let us have a repentant heart and repent from what our sin and also what our wrongdoing. And today we come and follow you. We just focus on you and focus on what you have done for us. And everything, all the impossibles that have been done, has been made possible, are all done by you and all has been created by you. And Lord, let us just continue to honor you, love you, and trust you the way every day as we continue to live. And as for people who have not come to Christ, Father, I just ask that you give us that opportunity, just like living out these miracles of giving out all the food that is giving out to people. We can spread your gospel as like your disciples have spread all those bread and fish. As we serve others, we are reminded that your compassion has called us to love you and love the people that you want us to serve. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, the next song coming up is Cornerstone. I hope that you're all quite familiar with this song. If you're not, let's learn. Let's stand and learn.